Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 631st edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. This show is dedicated to the American game, our players, coaches, and clubs, and everything else that goes on with American soccer. If you have a question for me, I'll try to – chat room is open. If you have a question for me, you can have a question for me, answer it to the best of my abilities. And, of course, let's not also forget you can follow me and read my articles over at Beyond the 90 at beyondthe90.substack.com, as well as locally on the New York Red Bulls at Red Bull News Network, soon ajmsportsfc.com. And now – ladies and gentlemen, as we get ready to talk about tonight about American soccer, you know, I have to say that in CONCACAF, and, you know, we always talk about what goes on in Europe, what goes on in South America. I try to broaden the horizons here when we talk about this Confederation of CONCACAF, because once again, I would like to believe that we do have these opportunities that, number one, the Confederation's getting better. I would like to believe that what we are seeing right now is this, is that the play is improving, and it's not just, you know, what goes on in the North Zone with Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. It's not just what goes on in the Central American zone, of course, with Panama and Costa Rica and Honduras and El Salvador and Guatemala, you know, but it's also what's going on in the Caribbean zone. And that it's not just what Jamaica does and Trinidad and Tobago does. It's the entire Caribbean department in the Caribbean zone, because we want to see the Caribbean zone improve. We want to see this confederation improve from top to bottom. And, you know, when the CONCACAF Nations League was originally introduced by Victor Montagliani, the president of this confederation of CONCACAF, the idea I felt was, with this Nations League, was to improve the international play. Because while some of these players do perform on club teams, whether it be, you know, at leagues in Jamaica, in Trinidad and Suriname, also in the Central American leagues, of course, coming to MLS. Some of them even go to England, and, you know, some of these players that play, you know, like for, you know, in these Dutch islands, they go play in the Netherlands if they want to play for their national team for Curaçao or Aruba. The idea is to improve all these national teams, and it's not just when they play only in World Cup qualifying or in these national team tournaments that usually are not strong enough. At least these teams do play top quality competition in CONCACAF when it comes to the Nations League. Because when UEFA did their Nations League, they're just doing it to eliminate needless friendlies against other oppositions outside of Europe. You know, that's their right if they wish to do so. If they feel like doing it, so be it. Do they need to do it? I don't think so. I think that they're good enough, you know, because they will always have qualification tournaments when it involves the Euros, when it also involves World Cup qualifying, because it's already, you know, important, and they're already good enough to be involved in these qualification tournaments. All I can say to you is this. When CONCACAF created this tournament, it was to assist and develop the players on the international level whenever they get called. Pardon me. And so far, it's working. I really think it's working, to be honest with you. Now, granted, you know, if you play Mexico, you play the United States, you play Canada, obviously, you know, they're probably going to have a tougher time battling against each other. But, you know, when you're battling against some of these Central American teams, you're going to get results. And Jamaica and Trinidad will always be the top nations in the Caribbean zone. You know, once they don't play these top two teams in the Caribbean zone, then obviously, you know, it's up for grabs. But once again, we want to see this confederation get stronger and better. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not going to see American players, you know, transferring to play in the Caribbean because obviously, look, we all know that the final destination is to have these American players playing in Europe or in South America. Because those are the best of the best. Without a doubt, the best of the best are in those two confederations in Europe and South America, without a doubt. But on the national team level, that helps our players become better. That helps our players when they face better opposition on the world stage. Not just playing against our own nations in our own confederation, of course in the Gold Cup and in the Nations League, but when we get to the World Cup itself. That's the bigger challenge. But when you look at CONCACAF as a whole, and that's where we have to look at it, folks. CONCACAF as a whole. I think what we are seeing so far is improved play and better talent starting to come around. What we have seen so far in the Nations League, Jamaica with a better manager has done well. Panama with a better manager, they have done well. Now they're kind of in a little bit of a rut. But look, this is what national teams do sometimes. You get the positives, you get the negatives. But there are improvements in managing. Because now you're seeing these top managers coming from Europe, coming over to our confederation and wanting to be a head coach, whether it be club side or internationally. And I think that's a positive thing right now. And once again, World Cup qualification is always going to be a crapshoot sometimes. And I really thought in the opening round matches, of course, they were goal aggregate between Anguilla and Turks and Caicos. I thought that was an excellent two-leg series, just like the Virgin Island Derby between the British and the U.S. They both ended in penalty kicks. Anguilla and the British Virgin Islands advanced to the second round. British Virgin Islands will be in Group E, while Anguilla will be in Group F in the second round. And, of course, those matches will begin this coming June for the first half and then June of next year for the second half. Also, we had those play-in matches for the final two spots in the Copa America this upcoming summer. Canada defeated Trinidad and Tobago 2-0, while Costa Rica, even though they were down 1-0 at the time, came back, made it a 3-1 victory over Honduras. And so Canada and Costa Rica are now going to be in the Copa America for this upcoming summer. And, of course, Nations League is Nations League. The United States does it again, defeating Mexico 2-0, 2-0, once again, third consecutive CONCACAF Nations League Championship. So all I can say right now is this. I think what we are seeing right now in CONCACAF, better play. We're seeing better players being developed. And yes, they are using what the UEFA Nations League is doing. But for here, though, it's more important for CONCACAF on the international level to come in and absolutely make sure that all of their constituents, all of their member nations improve from top to bottom. We all know who the top nations are, it's without a doubt. The United States, Mexico, Canada, Costa Rica, Honduras, Panama, Jamaica, and Trinidad and Tobago. But the rest of them, and we all know that some of them are also non-FIFA members, that they are CONCACAF members. So basically, like Guadeloupe, the Gold Cup is their World Cup. And we always see during those Gold Cups how Guadeloupe always finds a way to be dangerous, and they always find a way to go out and play their rear ends off. It's absolutely tremendous to see the positives that happen here in CONCACAF. Now, am I saying that they've made it? No. Absolutely not. Now, and when I say that, I'm not trying to temper the enthusiasm, because I do believe that they are improving. It's how quickly can they improve and how much better this region should be and can be. But more needs to happen. And until that does happen, until we see maybe an Aruba or a Suriname or a Turks and Caicos comes out of nowhere and actually has a major upset against some of the bigger nations in this confederation, hopefully not the U.S., but the hope and the prayer is to see it happen. That's my hope. Then maybe CONCACAF can be the third best confederation in the world. Right now, I think they're probably fourth best, which is not bad, because I think Africa is the third best confederation. Asia also has their issues as well. I would say maybe they're their fifth best. We all know probably the worst is Oceania, because they only have New Zealand, and that's it. After all, if Australia was still there, it would be between the Aussies and the New Zealanders. But New Zealand is really the king of Oceania, while everyone else is just hoping and praying they make a name for themselves. This is why, from what I've seen so far, why I believe that CONCACAF is better currently, or still not there yet. But the hope is, that they can get much better and improve more and find a way to at least get to third. Can they challenge for the second best? Probably not. That means someone in CONMEBOL or UEFA has to be really, really bad. But until then, let us hope and pray that CONCACAF does get better. Let's hope and pray that CONCACAF does improve. Let us hope and pray everything is going to be stronger and better and moving forward. And you know what? Give CONCACAF credit, because as we have seen so far, three consecutive Nations League tournaments, and soon it will be four for this upcoming year, or shall I say for 2024-25. Having these CONCACAF Nations Leagues. Now, I don't know if they meant to be in consecutive years, or they were going to have it here and there, have it on one year on, the next year off, another year on, the next year off. To have the Copa America coming over in 2024, I think was a brilliant idea. to have another Nations League tournament. And they're going to do it again. We all know this because the Gold Cup is coming next summer in 2025. Without a doubt, I truly believe that we have an excellent opportunity for this confederation to improve and get better. Because if we didn't have these Nations League tournaments each and every year going through September through November, then of course the semifinals and final and third place match in March, then obviously it just goes to show you that, you know, this confederation would not be making strides. My feeling is this, though, and you look, I understand that I understand that, you know, when you're in the League A department, that's where the trophy truly matters. What I would like to see, to be honest, if CONCACAF would do this, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, the top four teams in each group in League B, and then, of course, maybe the top three teams, or let's just say the top four teams in League C, because hopefully they'll go to three groups, but, you know, the top two teams in one group, because they usually would have four in one group and then three and then three and then three in the next groups, that they would do some sort of a League B title or a League C title, and they would be held somewhere else in CONCACAF, to have semifinals and then third place in the final for not, you know, for League B and League C. I wouldn't mind that, to be honest with you. I think that they would definitely also improve the Nations League, making it bigger and better and more important. But once again, we all know it's always these top nations, whoever qualifies for, you know, whoever's in League A has to go ahead and just find that way to make, here's your true champion of the Nations League. I understand it's coming out of League A. It's always going to be League A. I understand that whole situation. This is how they do it. You know, this is how they're going to do it. And I understand. But once again, I just personally feel that I wouldn't mind if they did some sort of final or a semifinal and final for League B and League C. But hey, look, they only have enough games to play. It's always on the international windows, September, October, November. I'm assuming sometime in July there's going to be the draw again for the Nations League. Now, I don't know the way they did it this upcoming way, if this is going to be the new way or they're going to go back to the old ways, of course, depending on what they do. But, you know, once again, this will be for Gold Cup qualifying. And it should be a lot of fun. It should be exciting. And look, all I can tell you is this. If they can add a little more games in March for those in League B and League C, not just for League A, why not? Why not? So we'll just have to wait and see. And we'll see if there's going to be improvements in that department. And hopefully it will be a good one as well. But once again, CONCACAF, I think they're improving. I don't think they're there yet. But they're improving, and that's a positive for me. Great show for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Joining me tonight live, of course, he is the writer for Bad Dog Sports, covering soccer, not just in MLS, not just in New York City, but the women's game as well. The one and only J.J. Pavlik joining me tonight. Don't forget, J.J. Pavlik, a former amateur referee, of course, in the amateur leagues in U.S. soccer, and he joins me tonight to talk about, of course, thank goodness, there was an agreement last week in the early mornings of Tuesday night where Pro MLS and the Professional Soccer Referee Association Union finally hammered out an agreement, and he's here to talk with us tonight. JJ, good evening, and how are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing, Dan?
Doing excellent, JJ. Everything's fine. So last week, the amazing thing happened. Pro referees, MLS, and PSRA came to an agreement. They came back this past weekend. The regular referees, all the replacements returned to their normal assignments elsewhere in American soccer. In your mind, how excited were you to hear the news? I know I was. I know many people were excited to hear about that news. What is your thoughts on that?
You know, we were all excited to hear that, you know, the agreement was finally done. You know, some benefited more than others. Some, you know, didn't get everything that they wanted or anything that they wanted. So, you know, some of the referee pool is happier than others. It is good to see that they got the deal done, though. They got it for 7 years, so, you know, they can breathe a little bit easier. Unfortunately, if you're not a center referee, you know, you're going to have to continue life the way it is, where you're doing two or more jobs on top of refereeing and going about normal 9-to-5 business to get your health insurance. So while it's great to see them back, you know, in order to get back that quickly, some unfortunately took a hit that they probably shouldn't have had to. But overall, you know, like we saw, over 70% voted yes. It was about like 22 to 25%, I think, that voted no. And it was probably mostly the people that didn't get the good end of the stick on this. But, you know, we got to see them back in action last week, and it was an improvement over what we had seen in previous weeks. Was it perfect? No, never is going to be. But it was better than what we have been seeing out there.
No, I agree with you, absolutely. And unfortunately, in these CBA negotiations, there's going to have to be some give and take. Obviously, not everyone's going to be happy that certain stipulations or certain things that they were fighting for would not be accepted or at least not agreed upon. But still, though, I do feel bad for the assistants out there. I mean, you know, they do, you know, they do their part just as good as the center referee, and of course the fourth officials do, VAR officials do. What were some of the things, like you said, like that weren't agreed upon that you felt should have been a part of this deal?
You know, the assistant referees did deserve a bigger pay increase than what they had gotten. It wasn't as much as the center referees. Obviously, you know, the responsibilities are more for the center, but we've all seen that, you know, ARs and the offsides and all that do matter as well. They are active in the game, and, you know, they can become part more of the game depending on situations and how they play out with injuries and stuff like that. They didn't get the health insurance that they wanted, you know, which we all know how that goes, especially in the journalist world. Not all of us are working for big corps, and we're having to cover our own health insurance. So, you know, you got to feel for them on having to do that while working at a pro league. You know, like, that should have been at least a minimum that all the referees had their health insurance covered. You know, some of the it's weird, and I have to go more into it, but in years past, you had to work 15 games in order to meet a certain threshold in pay and then get paid out at a certain salary after that for each game after. This one, they loosened it up for a few in some regards and made it a little tougher in other regards for others. It's super complicated to look at. But, you know, that could have been tweaked a little better. They did get better flight accommodations, but it's only going to be for the playoffs. It will not be for regular season. So a last-second referee change between the East and West Coast, that referee's still getting crammed into a coach seat and having to fly all the way out there last minute for a game. They got a little bit of a wiggle room with flight choices, but it's pretty much like it was before. But, you know, like we said, you know, there's going to be some give, there's going to be some take. And, you know, while it might not seem like the biggest things over the course of a long season, they do add up. But, again, they're pros. They will adjust, and they'll still be great out there.
Absolutely, and that's all we want to see them do. I mean, look, I wish they would get everything. Is it difficult to see MLS? Because let's be honest with ourselves here. Pro referees is really a division of Major League Soccer. We've already, you know, talked about this. I don't know if you've ever heard some of the podcasting I've done with Carter Krishnire. You know, U.S. Soccer has basically abandoned their responsibilities, not just governing the game at times, but, of course, under the club leagues. You know, they're supposed to be the ones handling the referees, and they've just let Major League Soccer run roughshod and take care of that department. Do you think U.S. Soccer should really reclaim running the referee pool, just running the referees and just not having MLS do all of this?
Honestly, yes. You know, but we've also seen the Federation have its own problems with trying to get stuff done, like the U.S. Open Cup. So, you know, grass isn't always greener on the other side until you see what the other side's really like. U.S. Soccer could be even worse at it. My experience in the amateur level with them was fine. I got my assignments, you know, I got to my games in perfect time, was compensated fine for it, you know. But can they handle the pro level along with the FIFA level and everything else? Who knows? Maybe that's why they passed it off to MLS. Maybe we see a change in 7 years. It's not going to change anytime soon at this point, since the CBA runs for the next seven. But I guess time will tell, huh?
I guess so. I mean, this is the situation. I mean, I don't think you'd ever see the English FA do anything like this, that's for sure, allowing the Premier League to, run their referee department. And, you know, they're supposed to be governing the game, and they're supposed to be managing the game, you know, on a broader scale. And unfortunately, it just feels like they just don't – at times it feels like they just don't want to do their job to govern the game correctly.
Yeah, you know, there has been some new blood injected into the Federation, so I guess we'll see if they live up to the campaign promises. Some of them have found out very quickly that while they stated that they want to be open and transparent, learned quickly that U.S. Federation media communications doesn't allow that. There's only so much open and transparent that you can be. But, you know, maybe we'll see if the new guard can change things. There is still plenty of the old guard remaining there. So, you know, on the referee end of the old guard, a lot of them have been fighting this fight for a while and just haven't gotten any headway to do this the right way. But, you know, it's one of those situations where there's really no winner in it. It would be nice to see the Federation step up like the rest of the world federations and do what they're supposed to, but welcome to American soccer, I guess, is the best way to put it.
I guess so, unfortunately. Yeah, no, absolutely. Do you talk to any referees outside of the U.S., like, you know, anyone's like from Mexico or from England or Germany, you know, talk to you about what's going on over here? Why did this have to last so long? This was like what? I was definitely almost an entire month, more than an entire month, unlike the last time it happened. It was only 2 weeks.
Yeah, I do know other referees on the international level. They were shocked how long it took, especially with some of the blatant errors that occurred with the replacements. I think it was just after the first week, we all thought that this would probably end before week two started, and it didn't for some reason. You know, It's just concerning, you know, like the referee community as a whole, you know, everybody's got everybody's back, you know. But this is the unfortunate part of business, I guess you can say. We're dealing with the pro level of soccer. It's much as you might want to get back out there, everybody has their agenda and everybody wants to try to say that they won the battle, and things carry on longer than they ever needed to, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And that's a shame of it right there off the bat. Did you ever talk to any of the replacement referees? Did you ever get a chance to ask them their thoughts about certain matches in the MLS games that they officiated, or how do they feel, you know, being a replacement referee instead of the actual ones that were supposed to see them representing pro?
I haven't yet, because there, even though I'm no longer officiating games, there is that code of conduct. You know, I'm sure now that they're not refereeing that level, at some point I'll bump into some of them again, either at the local level, the collegiate level, you know, at some of the amateur games, and, you know, maybe mention it in passing and see how they felt. But no, I haven't had the opportunity yet to sit down with any of them. I know one of the replacements is from my region in here in New York, and, you know, not a guy that I've normally spoken with before, I have worked with before, but, you know, we'll see down the line, you know?
Yeah. No, we'll see down the line. Absolutely. And hopefully, he'll give you some good insight and to see what he saw from his point of view, obviously. What do you think the feeling is with some of these referees towards Mark Geiger? Of course, he is now the head of pro since last year. I know Mark Geiger was a good referee. At the time, he was running the show as a center ref and a fourth official. What do you think his thoughts are with this whole situation? Do you feel, you know, I mean, I know he probably doesn't want to go through this again, because, you know, probably a lot of people felt betrayed.
I can't speak for him, but I can't imagine he'd want to go through this again. As far as referees' thoughts on them, I'll leave that for them to speak up on. It's not a topic that I can really go into too much. I've never had an issue with Mark. I've met Mark many times. I've had many discussions with him. He's one of the best referees that we've produced. But as far as on the negotiation side, that side of Mark I've never had to deal with, so I'm not going to speak on it. If he wants to speak on it, he knows how to reach me, and we can gladly speak on it, and then I'll be more than happy if he's willing for it to be on the record. But at this time, I can't talk too much about it.
No, I understand, and I agree with you. Yeah. I felt he was one of the best referees out there that we've produced. I think currently, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I thought Ishmael Elfath is probably one of our better referees now since Geiger is no longer officiating. I don't know if you agree with me on that.
I agree on you. I agree definitely with you.
Yep, good. Just want to make sure we're on the same page. So now that we have, you know, our regular referees back, what did you make of some of the officiating calls? I mean, obviously, I haven't done anything since last year or since preseason before the regular season got underway. What did you think they? How did you think they did so far in their opening weekend matches? If you're able to watch most of them,
From the matches I watched, they were good. I know in Philly there was one or two that some fans were on the fence about, and welcomed them in the most Philadelphia way back on the job.
Of course.
You know, I know in the women's game there was a couple of questionable calls down in Washington, but they weren't replaced. These are just their regulars. But, you know, there's always going to be one or two calls here and there that either someone's going to agree with or disagree, you know, depending on who you're speaking to. Overall, was it an A-plus return? No, probably around like a B, B-plus. But this was their first game back. They were off for a while. You know, it's going to take some time to get back in the flow. I'm not sure if all of the new rules have been put back in place yet or if they're going to just slowly, gradually roll those back in since they didn't start them at the beginning of the season due to the lockout. But, you know, we'll see. You know, they're more than capable of doing this job as we've seen. And whether some want to agree or not, they are the best at their job in this country.
Yes, they are. And the hope is that they continue being the best of the best, officiating our league here in MLS. And hopefully 7 years now, obviously, in this new deal, and hopefully they will negotiate another fair agreement after the 7 years are up, and hopefully we won't have to go through this again. Where do you see Major League Soccer in this entire situation? Obviously, you know, we've seen them really, you know, when it comes to the Open Cup now, with, you know, now with this whole situation with the referees, you know, ending, you know, they're 2024, you know, PR wise, where do you see them currently right now?
Definitely not in a good light. That's for sure. Whether you're talking to the public, the insiders, you know, they put a lot of egg on their face this off season, between, like you said, the Open Cup, this referee situation, you know, they've got a lot of work ahead of them to regain the trust of not only fans, but media, referees, PR departments, like the list just goes on and on and on, you know? The commissioners made some very questionable statements towards media, towards the public, which he hasn't walked back, which is kind of ironic. They've for any steps that they've taken forward, they've pretty much erased them.
And that's a shame, isn't it? Because, you know, they're supposed to be, you know, the top league in this country, and then here they go. They, you know, he wants to dig in his heels and believe that, you know, whatever they think is right is not truly right, and they always find themselves to get in trouble, and whether they believe they have egg on their face, they'll never admit to it, that's for sure.
No. Oh, definitely not. Yeah, no. We both know that all too well.
Exactly. Yes, we do. Do you have any final thoughts on this whole entire situation, JJ? I mean, I know, first of all, I want to thank you again for, you know, earlier in the month allowing Guido Gonzalez Jr. to let him know about coming on my show and everything, which I really do appreciate you helping me out with that. Have you heard from Guido at all and his thoughts?
I have. Right now, he's in the process of finding out, like, you know, now that he's back on the job, what is he allowed to do? What is he allowed to talk about? What he can and can't do? Because, you know, a lot of them got to come onto these shows and talk and humanize the referees, and it was very positive. Unfortunately, now you've got Pro back in the mix who really dictates what they can and can't do, what they can and can't say. So, you know, I'm waiting to hear back from him. I did invite him to come on with me, you, Anthony, just to discuss, you know, what it's like being back and everything. So I'm just waiting to hear back on what he's told as to what he can and can't do. Obviously, he's excited to be out there. I told him, you know, look forward to seeing him on the pitch at one of the games hopefully soon. And same with Brian Dunn, who's also another guy from around the area. You know, it's good to see them back, and hopefully it'll be in a positive light.
I hope so, too. That's all we want. We just want what's best for the game and for anyone and everyone that is involved in it, obviously. So you got home okay from D.C. and Philly? No problems?
No, there was a problem on the George Washington that held me up until about 3 o'clock in the morning. But apparently a drunk driver wanted to play Fast and Furious and hit a truck. And anybody that's been on the path to the GWB knows all it takes is that one accident to block all access to at least one level.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes both, if you get stuck in a certain little sector of it where you can't get over to the other side. So, you know, sat up against a cement barrier with about 50 other drivers, you know, last night in the nice, brisk, cold weather, talking about wanting to be home instead, but can't. So,
that's a shame.
You know. And to think, my biggest worry going down there was, what was traffic going to be like with the Baltimore tunnel after the bridge collapse? And here it was, the bridge in my own home state region that caused me the biggest headache. The life of journalism, right?
Yes, it is. The life of being a journalist. You got to have fun somewhere, but sometimes it's the agony of defeat that really kicks you in the rear.
Yeah, you know, I should have packed a soccer ball. At least could have maybe started a soccer game while we waited for those 4 hours.
Yeah, probably so. Oh, man. JJ, thanks again for your time. I really appreciate you coming on, talking about this topic. And I'm just happy that everyone's, you know, back on the field. Obviously, the Open Cup's a different story. We'll get to that sometime soon. But thank you again for your time. I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you during the season, as always.
Absolutely, Dan. See you soon, man.
All right, see you soon. Once again, JJ Pavlik from Bad Dog Sports. You can follow him as well as their YouTube show with Anthony Merced, The 11. Should be a lot of fun. They cover it's not just NYCFC and the New York Rebels. He also does Gotham for the NWSL and of course, he's also doing hockey as well for the Professional Women's Hockey League, PWHL, covering them as well. So if you're a hockey fan, if you want to follow the women's game as well in hockey, and you want to follow JJ, go right ahead. Once again, it's Bad Dog Sports, D-A-W-G. Got to get that correctly. B-A-D-D-A-W-G Sports, Bad Dog Sports. .com. So please follow JJ on Twitter as well, on X, and go ahead and have some fun with him as well. He's a great guy to talk to and being on the show. Now time to talk about the New York Red Bulls and their two matches against the two Floridian teams. They took on Inter Miami first last weekend, and a 4-0 victory over Inter Miami. Yes, there was Lionel Messi did not play. He was hurt. Of course, supposed to be for Argentina on international friendly. Of course, he did not play that one. Excuse me. But because of his injury. But, you know, there was Alba. There was Busquets. There was Suarez. There was Cremaschi. There was Campagna. And what the New York Red Bulls did was amazing. They just went out there and they did damage, big time damage, strong defense, played hard, Lewis Morgan with a hat trick, Wiki Carmona with the third goal, and of course, Dante Van Zier assisting on all four goals, the primary assists on all four goals. Just an amazing time. If you are a New York Red Bull supporter, just amazing what they have done. It was a big-time victory against Inter Miami. And, of course, if you were watching it on Apple Season Pass, on Apple TV Plus, some shenanigans coming from Inter Miami, of course, that looked like, I don't know what they saw. Replay showed Dylan Nealis did defend Jordi Alba, but he did not stomp on him. But then they reacted like he did. And then they went out late arriving from the locker room to start the second half. And then they just completely were dominated. Completely dominated by the New York Red Bulls. Excuse me. Now, whether Messi was there or not, that should not be the difference maker. Messi should not be the difference maker. There is enough talent on Inter Miami to go out there and absolutely have a hell of a game and to at least be competitive. They were not. Now, granted, it was a monsoon. The rainstorm did not help. But still, though, the New York Rebels did not have Carlos Coronel in goal. They did not have Emil Forsberg or Noah Ella because they were away for Sweden. Coronel away for Paraguay. No Tolkien. No Edelman. They were away on Olympic duty for the U.S. And as we've already said, Inter Miami missing some players as well due to international break. Now, obviously, that's a different argument. But still, though, we should not be playing during international breaks. But they do. And to see them really competing hard, playing strong, doing a job, and earning the full 3 points was just amazing to watch. And then to see Lewis Morgan getting that hat trick, second hat trick in 3 years with the New York Red Bulls, was just unbelievable. He has been a special player. A special player just dominating this league, or at least dominating on the pitch and doing special things. Right now, 6 goals this season, got the penalty in Orlando at Inter & Company Stadium, made it 1-0 on the road in Orlando, played strong defense. They did well, and unfortunately an own goal had to happen late in that match to make it 1-1. They did get the point. It should have been a win. Elise Manuel should have converted that goal late in the second half. Did not, and that's why Orlando was able to get that away goal, that equalizer, unfortunately, off of Noah Elle, who came off the bench. And look, unfortunately, these things happen. It would have been 3 points. They would have been top in the East, and everything would have been fine. But unfortunately, this is the situation they got themselves into in Orlando. They played some strong defense. Orlando was plucky, even though there are times where I would have thought the Red Bulls should have played a little bit better. There was some miscommunications on certain passes going forward. But once again, you dominated the way you did against Miami. Okay, maybe a small lull was going to happen, but they really did play strong defensively. They frustrated Orlando until the own goal happened, unfortunately, and then they walked out of Central Florida with a point. And still in the pack, they are tied for second right now. And for the New York Red Bulls, it's just one of those moments where they must be better when they're going to be on the road at FC Cincinnati at TQL Stadium next weekend, this upcoming weekend, I should say. And then they come back home to take on, I believe, Chicago Fire. But once again, it is a situation where the New York Red Bulls, it's not that difficult, to be honest with you. I'm not going to be overly sad. I mean, they're unbeaten in 5 of their first 6 games. The only loss so far was in Columbus, getting thrashed 3-0. So far, the Red Bulls have looked good. And hopefully, you know, Emil Forsberg will come back from his hamstring tightness and be ready to go on the road in Cincinnati this upcoming weekend. Hopefully, he'll be ready to go. But so far, you really cannot complain about how the Red Bulls have been playing so far. You just can't. They have done an amazing job right now, and they're doing, they're just playing strong. Now, there's still plenty of games to go. There will be a couple more losses here and there, that I understand. But as of right now, they're doing well. I think they are one of the surprises of the season currently. And we'll see what happens later on in the year. Of course, when the Copa America comes, of course, they're going to be playing through the Copa America, unfortunately. But once again, what we are seeing right now is this Red Bulls team under Sandro Schwarz currently, they looked more disciplined. they have more energy, and having Lewis Morgan back and being involved in the attack with Von Zier, and of course coming back hopefully with Forsberg, it's going to look strong and positive. Cannot wait to see what this team can do. Now, really quick, you know, yes, I don't, this is not football related, it's more personal related. Yes, we've seen the story about Emil Forsberg and the situation with his wife and his family. You know, that is a personal matter between the family. I will not go into it that much. All I can say is I am not a person that is, you know, happy to see that happen to the Forsbergs. I hope there can be some form of reconciliation and things can be smoothed out. That's all I can say. I know she's upset because she feels he's ghosting him and already certain things are going on. But like I said, that's a family matter. I'm not going to get involved in that. Whatever happens, you know, it's going to be handled by Emil Forsberg and his wife, and his, you know, whatever they're going to do, they're going to do, and that's it. I'm not going to ignore the story about it, but the truth is that this is what they must do for themselves. I'm not going to get involved in it. I will not get involved in it because, for me, I want to rather concentrate on the stuff on the pitch and not stuff off the pitch, especially that is family related. That is between themselves. I will not get into it. And like I said, I don't want to get involved in something like that on reporting. I'm just letting you know, yes, I've seen the report. I've seen the article from Europe, obviously. I feel bad for the family. Hopefully they can reconcile and hopefully things can change and they can, you know, be whole again and hopefully everything will be fine. Other than that, it's a positive start. Emil Forsberg has been fantastic so far. Sandro Schwarz has been fantastic so far. And I only hope more positive things for him involving with the Red Bulls and that they can go on. And at least, look, if you followed me on the podcast through either Red Bull News Network or AJMSportsFC.com, I felt that, to be fair, I thought this team would finish in third place because I still felt there's still some top teams in the East. The Crew are one of them. They are a top team. But until then, you know, look, if they can find a way and sneak in and take the top spot, then by all means, let's go for it. But for now, I would say third place is an excellent location to finish the season. And they can get ready for the playoffs. And, you know, of course, we still have plenty of games left to go. We'll wait and see. But until then, this is where we are currently. And hopefully everything will be A-OK and the Red Bulls will be really strong. I want to thank my guest tonight. I want to thank J.J. Pavlik from Bad Dog Sports talking to me about the referee agreement between the PSRA and MLS and Pro. As finally they're back and ready to go to a 7-year deal to go out there and give us their all to officiate games. And now when I inform Red Bull, you Red Bull supporters about the broadcasters, I shall now bring back the pro referees for each and every game. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me this coming Friday night as I'll review the quarterfinal first leg review show of the 2024 CONCACAF Champions Cup. Once again, my name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care, so long, and have a good night. Bye-bye for now. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care, so long, and have a good night. Bye-bye, everybody.